Having a little something this afternoon I'd like to challenge you with. One of the names that they gave Jesus when he was here, one of the things they called him, was teacher. Jesus was a teacher. He came and brought in Bible says a new and a living way. He brought in a new dispensation. He brought in a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding. He brought in a dispensation of faith. And I'm thankful for it tonight and this afternoon. And he had a lot of things to teach the people, a lot of things to teach the disciples. And I suppose, maybe not everyone is as slow a learner as I am, but as long as we're here, there's still many things that we need to learn. Many things that would be good for us to know about the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to talk this afternoon for just a little bit about parables. If you want to follow along with me, I want to read what Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And then I'd like to look at two or three parables that he gave. He gave a lot of parables. In the 10th verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew, it says, "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And he went on to give the parable of the sower. That's not the parable we want to begin with or deal with this afternoon. But Jesus is explaining here to the disciples why that he spoke to the people in parables. The reason they didn't hear and the reason that they didn't see is because they didn't accept Jesus. They didn't believe Jesus. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They rejected him, and therefore they were not able to see. And they were not willing to hear. And you notice it says less that he said the people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. But to you and I, Jesus said, it is given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I know that the Lord wants you and I to understand, get all the enlightenment that we can get. Again, referring back to the Sunday school lesson this morning, get all the understanding that the Lord has for you and I to get a hold of. It'll help us to understand life. It'll help us to understand what's going on around about us, the things that are happening in our world today. It'll help us to be able to deal with and cope with life and cope with the things that we have to face from day to day. So parables were a way that Jesus taught the people. He usually started out for the kingdom of heaven, but not every time, speaking of the kingdom of God. But parables was a way that Jesus taught with life's lessons to use literal things in order to get across spiritual understanding to the people. That's what parables were. And many times people didn't understand and they didn't get a hold of them. But I'd like for us to consider two or three parables this afternoon. The first one is found in the 13th chapter of Luke. Now, he spoke a lot of parables. He did a lot of teaching. So, by no means are we trying to give an exhaustive essay of all the parables. But I want to deal with this one here for a few minutes. In 13 of Luke, the sixth verse, it said, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. The Lord has several things here in this lesson. We can't get them all. We'll not find them all this afternoon. But I want us to consider the fig tree, the lesson of the fig tree, for just a little bit. He's talking about a man having a fig tree planted in the vineyard. Now, who's he talking about? What's he talking about? The fig tree represents you and I, planted in God's vineyard, and you and I have been planted in there for a purpose. We've been put in that vineyard to grow. We've been put in that vineyard to develop. We've been put in that vineyard to bear fruit. And he said here that someone came, a certain man, had a fig tree, and he came and he saw fruit on it. And it didn't have any fruit. This is a lesson of God's forbearance with mankind. How God bears with us, and how God is willing to be long-suffering with you and I. You know, I can speak from my experience. I'm sure it hasn't been easy for the Lord to bring me where He's brought me to today. Because sometimes we find things that, or we learn things that the old flesh wants to rebel against it. We want to rebel. We don't want to accept what God is trying to tell us, what God is trying to get us to understand. And so God is forbearing. God is long-suffering. And He continues to work with us. And He continues to deal with our hearts, continues to dig about us, as the Scripture says, the parable says, and to dung us, to give us more of the Word and more of the Spirit, more of His love, more of His grace. He pours all that in, all that work in just the one individual. He's done all of that for each and every one of us because He wants us to go forth and bear fruit. But you notice that in this little parable here, that even though the dresser said, give it a little time, let me work on it, let me dig about it and dung it, and he said, then, if it doesn't bear fruit, then you can cut it down. You see, there's a scripture that says, behold the severity and the goodness of God. God is a good God, folks. His main purpose, the Bible teaches us, is that not anyone should perish, but that all should have eternal life. That's what God wants out of every man, woman, and child in this earth. He wants us to have eternal life. That's why He sent His Son, isn't it? That's why Jesus died for you and I, that we can have eternal life. So that's his main purpose. But we take note this afternoon, as we probably mentioned some this morning, that God is long-suffering, God is kind, God is gentle. He'll work with you and I. He'll bless you and I. As long as you and I are blessing God, as long... Folks, if we'll put anything into it, we're not going to get anything out of it. If God sees that we don't have a desire to work at this thing, His hands are pretty much... We tie His hands, don't we? If we don't want it, He's not going to force it on us. But I want you to notice here that the time will come when He's going to come looking for the fruit on every one of us. And if He doesn't find it, I want to say, if He finds you and I continually fruitless and not bearing what He is requiring of you and I to bear, we're going to be cut down. We're going to be destroyed. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. He's a just God. He's a loving God. I believe He'll go to the very nth degree, if I can say it that way. He'll go as far as He can to try to help a soul make heaven. I believe He'll do that. He'll go as far as He can with you and I as He begins, when He saves us and He begins to clean up our life and clean up our heart, and as He begins to open our understanding, as He begins to work on our character, and as He begins to work on our personalities, and He begins to work on you and me and just who we are. He works on those kind of things, doesn't He? Who was it? Nathanael? When Nathanael come to Jesus, Jesus said something to him about being a good man and having no guile. See, He knew Nathanael's character because he was God. And the Lord knows our character. He knows our makeup. He knows why we do what we do, why we say, why we act, why we have the attitudes. He knows all about those things. And so as this fig tree is still growing, and He's working about it and digging about it, and He's dung it, He's trying to get you and I to see what He sees, to help us to be able to mature and help us to be able to grow in the things of God. That's what He's trying to get us to do. He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone. Aren't you glad this afternoon that you've got a Savior? You've got a friend. He said, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, sometimes God looks down and He may be weary of what He sees. He may be weary of dealing with me and weary with working with me. And the Savior come along and said, wait a minute, Lord, Father, I died for him. I died for him. I gave my life for him. Give me a little more time. Let me work on him a little bit longer. Maybe there's hope. Maybe there's a little hope for him. Let me work just a little bit longer. What does it say? Smoking flax, he will not quench. Folks, if there's just a little ember there, if there's a little smoke, he'll fan it. And endeavoring to bring up a flame to try to get you and I to see. First of all, folks, we have a will. We need to know that. We have a will. And that will says, is a defender of our hearts. You've heard me say that before. As God reveals things to us and shows us what we need to do, my will can say, Lord, I can't go there and I can't do that. And we can hinder what God wants to do in our walk with the Lord. But God is long-suffering. God is faithful. And He wants to work and dig about every one of us. And He does that. He does that through His Word. He does that through allowing persecutions to come, adversity to come. He does that allowing us to go through the trials of our patience, just to see how much patience we have on hand. He does that to see how much we have, how much fruit we have of the Spirit, the kindness, the gentleness, the love, the faith, and those things that are of the fruit of the Spirit. But He's working on us. Well, the point right here that I want you to get, He's working on us. And He's given us time. And I think the Lord, He doesn't just cut people off unmercifully. But He's a merciful God. A very merciful God. And I thank the Lord for that this afternoon. I'm going to try not to be up here real long. So I want to move on to another one. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew 21 and 28. I'm trying to move along, but I do want you to get what I feel is the brunt of the message this afternoon of what God is requiring, what He wants, and how faithful and how good that He is to us. Matthew 21 and verse 28. He said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first." This is the parable of the two sons. "And he said, came to the first, and he said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and he went. He came to the second, and he said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." I mentioned about having good intentions this morning and how important it is, if you have good intentions, to follow through with them. If you don't follow through and give what is due the Lord and what He requires from you, I want to tell you something, that you're beginning to follow a path of sure failure and disappointment in your life. And eventually, it's going to get cut down. Eventually, destruction. If we don't follow the path that we need, that will lead us to God, lead us into His safety, and lead us into His love. There were two sons here. One said he would go, and he didn't go. The other one said he wouldn't go, and he repented, and he did go. Kind of tells me something. I don't know if it tells you the same thing, but you ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? Actions really did speak louder than words here. The man said, "I go, sir," but he didn't go. It isn't our words. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we do have a testimony. We have a testimony, and we have a right to that testimony. I have my testimony. You have your testimony of how God brought you to the place of salvation where you are today. We have our testimony. The devil can't take that away from us. Man can't take that away from us. But actions speak louder than words. And what God is looking down on is my heart. The Lord may tell me someday to do something and I say, "Oh, Father, I'll gladly go do it," and not go do it. I'm going to be responsible for God's dealing with my heart. Is that all right? I remember years ago, personally, the Lord was dealing with me, bringing a message to my heart. He dealt with me for a long time. And I remember locking or closing myself up in my room at home. And I was reading, and I'd read through my Bible, and I'd begin to read the Scriptures, and the Lord was talking to me. And I'd just reach in there and just turn the Bible anywhere. And I said, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't say those things." I was very careful, and you be very careful. Don't ever say, "Lord, I won't do that." I never said, "Lord, I will not do that." But I said, "Lord, I can't do it." Folks, if God is requiring, I've learned this, you probably have too. If God is requiring something out of you, it may look very hard, and it may look very difficult at the time. It may be very hard and be very difficult. But folks, as God, you let God work with you. You let God talk to you, and you allow Him to bring you in a place where you can eventually say, "Lord, I will go," and you will go and do what God wants you to do. Eventually, allow Him. All folks, it takes Him to get you to that place. It takes His grace. It takes His strength. I remember that time so vividly. My wife and I would go out for walks in the evening, and I would be so short of breath. The burden was building up, and it was getting so heavy. I remember being out there mowing, bush hogging the land out there, and the Lord talking to me while I'm bush hogging, and I'm saying, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that." But you know what? I did it. Eventually, I did it. By the grace of God, by the help of the Lord, He brought me to that place. Folks, there's going to be some hard places. You've already come up against them many times. In your life, things that you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to shake your head. Say, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't go there in my heart. I can't do that." We'll claim our personality we'll claim Moses, like Moses. "I can't talk well, and we can't do this, and we can't do that." And the Lord give us a thorn in the flesh, and we pray and say, "Lord, get rid of the thorn in the flesh." The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient. If I have something for you to do, I'll give you the grace to do it." You understand what I'm trying to say this afternoon? One son said he would, but he didn't do it. Wonder which one was justified before God. One guy said he wouldn't, but he repented. And he went and did the Lord's will. Saints, be always ready and prepared to do the Lord's will. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be a preacher to find yourself in places that are going to be hard and difficult for you to face. But don't ever tell God, "God, I won't do that. I won't do it." You tell God, maybe like I did, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that." But in the next 3 or 4 months, and the Lord dealt with me that long on one message. In the next 3 or 4 months, I did it. By the help of the Lord. We did it. And I want us to understand, the Lord's teaching us, let it grow. Let Him work. Let me work with them. Lord wants to work with us. He'll work with you, folks, if you let Him. He'll work with you if you don't push Him out of your mind and push Him out of your heart. If you let Him, He'll work with you. And He'll bring you up to a place where you will be so blessed. And so full of His grace, and so full of His glory, and so full of His power, He will bring you to that place, folks, where you'll hardly ever even be able to contain what He has given us. And now what the writer said over there in Malachi? He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that which you are not even able to contain. You ever had God do that to you? I know you have. I know you have. See, that's what He wants to do for us. That's what He wants to do with us. But we got to stay out of His way, folks. Got to stay out of His way. We got to get our personality out of the way. Moses, get your personality out of the way. I'll give you Aaron to go and speak for you, but I still want you to go and lead my people out of bondage. Moses still had to, he didn't get out of it, did he? He can get out of it. "Lord, I can't talk well." Well, Lord said, "I'll give you Aaron, but you're still going. You're still going." Saints, I'm sure you feel the same way I do. Whatever it takes, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes to get my soul to heaven. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, "I'll be a fool for Christ." He's willing to be a fool for Christ. He didn't care what people thought about him. His purpose was to do the will of the Father, wasn't it? Let it alone. Let me dig about it. Let me dung it. And then come back next year. If there's no improvement, if there's no growth, if the person has been obstinate and rejected all of my pruning and all of my working with them, well, then you can cut it down. God will. None of us are above that. None of us are above that. None of us. We learn a lesson from Moses. Who are we to presume upon God? Who are we to tell God that we're not going to do anything? Who are we to come up to the rock and say, "Must I fetch water out of this rock?" Cost him, didn't it? It cost him. Careful how you deal with God. Don't ever say, "Lord, I won't do that." Don't, not when the Lord's requiring something out of you, folks. Be very careful. "Lord, right now, I can't do it. Right now, I can't, that's too hard for me. I can't do that." But don't ever tell him, "You won't do it." This fellow said he wouldn't do it, but he repented. And he went and did what the Lord wanted him to do. Lord, help us this afternoon. Follow through. Follow through. Don't stop short, but follow through with what the Lord is requiring of you. Because He requires things differently from all of us. He's got something for each, a work for each and every one of us to do. You have people in your life. I heard it. I heard an advertisement on the radio last week. A fellow was advertising air conditioners, I believe it was. And he said something about, they say that on average, one person affects at least 10,000 people in a lifetime. Now, these are normal people. I thought, wow, that sounds pretty far-fetched to me. I don't know how many we affect, but I'll tell you one thing. Your life affects someone. Your life affects someone. They're looking on each and every one of us, and it's affecting someone. So let the Lord dig, let Him prune, let Him dung it. Let Him do whatever He needs to do with us and bring us down. As the dear old sister out west said, "Lord wanted me to do this, and the Lord wanted me to get rid of that." And she said, "Lord, I told the Lord, Lord, when you get done, there won't be nothing of me left." And then she said, "I realize that's exactly what the Lord wants. No, nothing of self left. But He wants us to be conformed into the image of His Son." We'll look at a familiar scripture found in the 12th chapter of Romans. Now, this is not a parable. The 12th chapter of Romans. But I have something I felt the Lord wanted me to point out here. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Folks, don't ever forget the promises that you made God. Don't ever forget them. You come down to an altar of prayer and you're just all broken up and you're so sorrowful and you want to give everything over to the Lord and you're just telling the Lord this and you're telling the Lord that. Folks, when the test comes, when the trial comes, and you're not in that kind of the heat of the moment, you stand true and you stand faithful and don't forget what you promised God. Because He's going to require what you promise Him. We can read that over in the book of Ecclesiastes. You keep your promises to God. "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." This is God we're dealing with. "Which is your reasonable service." It's only reasonable that we do that, folks. Now, here's what I want to point out by the help of the Lord. Be not conformed to this world. Now, if you look around, I think you'll agree with me that some folks are still conforming. Some folks are still conforming. In the last several years now, we've seen folks that once was among us, worship with us, begin to conform with the world. And they're not with us today. "Be not conformed to the world." Stop conforming. We've got to resist. You and I have to resist from being poured into the mold of our old way of thinking or the way the world thinks, the tide and the direction that the world is going. Because that will not work for us. That will hinder the pruning. It will hinder the dunging. It will hinder the God's work in our heart and life. Now the second thing that I want to point out in this verse, and this is real important to me. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got that? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now there's two things that can happen here. You and I both know that we live in a world full of change. It changes. It's changing all the time. Right? Change is going to happen whether we are involved in it or not. It's going to happen. And it's outside. Change now is outside of our control. He didn't say be changed by the renewing of your mind. But he said, be transformed. And I want to impress that upon your hearts this afternoon. A transition is purposely driven desire and purpose in our hearts to do what is right to please God. Don't be changed. Be transformed. There needs to be a transition in the way that you think. In the way that you handle yourself, in the way that you handle God, by presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, he said, there needs to be a transition. Transitions is something that we have control over. If I'm going to transition from the bad to the good, I can have control over that. It's up to me, like Paul, to bring my body under and into subjection. That I might win Christ. It's up to me to do that. But not a change. A change is a New Year's resolution, if I can put it that way. That's change. But to transition from the old life to the new means that we have taken the necessary steps in putting off the old man, putting off the old ways, and now we are transformed and we've made the transition into the new life. You understand what I'm saying? Thank the Lord for that this afternoon. You know, bad choices people make, any of us make, will eventually have bad consequences. But presenting myself to God will require a transition from my old habits and my old practices, as the Scripture says, to a new and a living way. A new and a living way in Christ Jesus. I transition from the old to the new. Not change. Change is things that I don't have any control over, but transition, transforming, that's for me to do. That's the work for me to do. Till I make the transition to where the place where I can please Christ, that I can glorify Him and honor Him and all that He would have me to do for Him. I think we need to be very careful how we handle God, because He deals with us every day. I'm sure He deals with you every day. He talks to you every day. Be very careful how you handle Him and how you deal with God. Because he said here, don't be conformed to the world, but transformed from the world by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is to be proved out in each and every one of our lives, isn't it? That we may prove. Prove to who? Prove to my daughters. Prove to my sons. Prove to my companions. Prove to my lost loved ones. Prove to the world. Prove to those that I work with that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. in your life? Well, folks, God wants us to prove Him. He wants us to prove Him out in our lives. He wants to prove Himself out in our lives, and He'll use our lives to do it. If we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. Let it grow a little while. Parable said, let it grow a little while. Give me a little more time. And Lord, He's so patient. He's so kind and understanding and long-suffering. But there comes a time when God sees they're not interested. They're not putting their heart into this thing. Why should I even try? I don't know how God thinks when that time comes. But the time does come when there comes a cutting off. So may the Lord help us this afternoon. I'd like to look at one more. In Luke, the 12th chapter, a responsibility that you and I have, every one of us, responsibility to the Lord. Luke 12, verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us? Or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward? You and I are stewards. God has given us the kingdom, folks. The kingdom is within us. We are to go about sowing righteous seed. We are to go about bearing righteous fruit. And so He said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? You want your portion? I want mine. I want my portion. I want my reward from my Heavenly Father. In order for me to gain that reward, I'm going to have to be faithful at my post of duty. Do you know you have a post? They send them out there at nighttime when they're at war or there's an enemy around at a fort somewhere. They post sentries out there to guard the place. They don't do much good if they go to sleep, do they? Got to stay awake. You got to keep your focus on your purpose. Now, I haven't read this kind of stuff anywhere. This is what the Lord's bringing to my heart this afternoon. Keep your focus on your purpose. Be a good steward. Because that's what you're going to give an account of. That's what you're responsible for, to be a good steward. And whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We heard about the five wise and the fool, five foolish, and said they all slumbered and slept. Blessed, he said, is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, finds so doing, being faithful to do what God is wanting you to do, bearing fruit. You know, the steward come along, or the guard of the vineyard come along, and he wanted to cut the tree down because it didn't have fruit on it. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for us to bear fruit. I have, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Oh, praise the Lord. But, seemed like there's always a but. There's always generally a positive side and a negative side to things, isn't there? If that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, Lord, I'll go, then I don't go. That's what the one man said in the parable, isn't it? I'll go, but he didn't go. If the servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Let him alone. Give me another year, which is a certain amount of time. Give me a little more time to dung about it, to work with it, to bring this vessel fruit to perfection, fruit to deliverance, fruit to being a fruit that others could look upon and be able to come and pick that fruit off of your tree. That's what the Lord's looking for us to do. But if he's not aware, and if he doesn't stay on his guard, he said he will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. It's just a different way of saying it than the parable of the fig tree. But, there's another but. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, and of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Does that kind of allude to us or tell us that punishment, there's different levels of punishment in hell? I believe there is. There's different levels. That's all left to a just God, isn't it? It's all left to a just God. But I want to say every face that I'm looking at here this afternoon, folks, we've been made responsible followers of Christ. Every one of us are responsible. Very responsible for what we know. I'm not trying to scare anybody. But folks, God has given us some blessings and some good things for us to enjoy. That you and I can bear the fruit. Be vessels that He can use right in the midst of this dark world, this wicked and evil generation that we live in. He needs somebody to stand up and bear that fruit. Lord, help us to do that. He that knew not and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. I'm afraid none of us here fall into that category. Because we know. We know. And there's going to be a lot of folks who maybe try to hide behind that skirt tail, and it ain't going to work. Because they knew. Because God revealed it to them. Remember a message that I preached several months ago, I think. Maybe last year, I don't know. On voices. There are going to be people at the judgment that's going to hear the voice of God. And I said in that message, they never heard it before, but they didn't listen. I mean, they heard it before, but they didn't listen. So now they're hearing it for the first and final time. They're going to hear it. That's just the way it's going to be at the judgment, folks. May the Lord help us to take the parable of the fig tree, the parable of the two sons, and Lord, help us to be very sensitive. Well, that's a word. People aren't sensitive about God anymore. They're really not. They've lost their fear of God. They've lost their direction in life. But let you and I, we're not just regular people, folks. We're the children of the Most High. We're the children of God. Let us be very sensitive. Let us be very watchful. The Bible tells us, encourages us to watch and pray. And to put on the whole armor of God. Read it. It's right there. Black and white. Sixth chapter of Galatians. Put on the whole armor. Maybe Ephesians, I'm sorry. Sixth chapter of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you can stand in these evil days. My desire is to be able to stand. And I've told you before, I can look around this room and I don't see anybody in this room weaker than Larry. I've proved that with down through my life, how weak and feeble my flesh is. And I need God. I need to put on that armor to help me to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy and to stand in these evil days. Folks, I appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate the saints. Appreciate the church of God. I appreciate the truth. I appreciate the unity, the oneness, the wholesomeness that is represented among God's people. Wholesomeness. Wholesomeness. I appreciate that. Someone said, made in a conversation yesterday, they brought up integrity. I said, what's that? Something you eat? And they looked at me and they said, it's something that we have in this room right here. And I had to agree with that. There was integrity there. But you don't find integrity out there anymore, folks. Not much of it. Sometimes you have to seek far and wide to find integrity. Because people pretty much got the idea, I'll do whatever I have to do to protect my own skin. Right? I'll do whatever I have to do. But I want to be like David. And I want to humble myself before God and say, God, I put myself in your hands. Do what you will with your servant. Be careful. Be sensitive how you handle God. Because He's very serious about how He handles us, and He will always handle us in the right way. Because He loves us. And His Son is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a companion you can count on, you can trust in, and He'll be there for you. And all that. He said He'd be a very present help in every time of trouble. We find that to be so, don't we? May the Lord help us be encouraged, press on, hold on to the things of God, count the Word of God holy and dear to your heart this afternoon. Amen.